Well, let's pray, and then we'll look at this. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this time, and we pray that that you would guide us tonight through your Holy Spirit, that you would help us to be reminded of old things, maybe even to learn something new. But whatever, help us to apply it in our lives. Help us to be molded by your hands and made into what you want us to be. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We learned the writer, we learned all about this, that when James starts talking about this and he says, consider it all joy whenever you face trials, we learned last week James knew what he was talking about. It's one of those been there, done that situations. So James knew about this. He knew there would be trials. We need to approach our lives in the same way, knowing that there's going to be trials. And there were some points from John MacArthur. So this is a let you know, I stole this directly straight from John MacArthur. Okay? Eight purposes for God allowing trials to come into our life. Why does God do that anyway? And what are some trials that comes in? Well, to test the strength of our faith. You remember when the Israelites, when God provided them with manna from heaven, and he said, gather one day's worth of stuff. Now, Renee can tell you, I'm not very good at gathering one day's worth of stuff. The first summer that we were up here, we had enough cherries in our freezer that lasted for about 3 years. I'd never seen cherries like that before, and we could pick them and we could store them, and we gathered a lot of them. But the Israelites gathered one day's portion. They had to exercise their faith that, okay, God said one day, we need to gather for one day, and then he'll provide for the next day. The second way God uses trials to come into our lives to humble us. Paul said God sent a messenger of Satan to keep him from exalting himself. So God uses those trials to humble us. He also uses those trials to wean us from dependence on worldly goods. As long as I have things that are going my way, as long as I can provide for this, is that really counting on God? The John 6 part there, Jesus tested Philip. He was about to feed the 5,000. And Jesus asked Philip, so what are we going to do? And Philip said, we don't have enough money to go and buy food for this kind of people. I don't know what we're going to do. And Jesus already knew that he was going to provide supper. But he was testing to see if they could provide it. He uses trials to call us to eternal and heavenly hope. For us to recognize that the sufferings now are nothing compared to the glory to be revealed. That we need to recognize that we're here just temporarily. We're just passing through. We're pilgrims on a journey. And that reminds me of a song, yes. We're just passing through here. But we're heading to a better destination. He uses trials to reveal what we really love. Abraham loved Isaac. Isaac was the child of promise. Isaac was the one that God was going to use to make all of his all the things that God told Abraham, the covenant that God made with Abraham. Isaac was the one. But God said, take him and sacrifice him. And so Abraham followed and did what God said. He uses trials to teach us to value God's blessing. To value what God does. Not just what somebody else can do for me. But what God does. His loving kindness is better than life. Develop enduring strength for greater usefulness. we want to. He uses trials to make us develop so that we'll be more useful. Nobody wants to sit on the bench. Whether you're playing football or basketball or whatever, you don't want to sit on the bench. You want to go and play. You want to be developed for greater usefulness and do that. Important. And then trials enable us to better help others in their trial. My sister lost her first baby. Perfectly developed little girl. And she was about ready to deliver that child, and the cord got wrapped around her neck. And a tough time, a hard time for all of that. But I can't tell you how many people my sister has called as soon as she hears that somebody lost a baby and said, "I understand, and I know that it's hard, but you can make it through this. You can do that." Through a trial, she was able to help other people. Important that we approach things like that. Okay, the Scriptures, consider it pure joy, my brother. Oh, sorry. Whenever you face trials of many kinds, first of all, consider. The Star Trek way is just make it so. It is an imperative. We are under divine command to look on that with joy. So it's not a, it's not a, "Scott, you ought to think about doing this." No, he said, "Scott, make it so. Set your mind in this way." So consider it. And then it says, consider it pure joy. Just what it says. Consider it pure joy. Long, long ago and far, far away, we worked with a pastor that said, "This is not a problem. It's an opportunity to see God work." And it got to where I wanted to punch him in the nose every time he'd say that. And the bad part is he was right most of the time. But I still, you'll never hear me say that phrase. But that's what we're supposed to do, is consider it joy. Yes, this is going to be hard. But God's going to work and God's going to do some things in the middle of all this. So consider it pure joy. Then he says, like we learned last week, consider it pure joy, my brothers, fellow believers, that he's writing this to. And then he said, whenever you face trials of many kinds. He didn't say if you face a trial. He said when you do face a trial. If you haven't, like Stanley would say, then you better hang on because you will. Jesus said in John 16:33, "In this world you will have tribulation. But fear not, I have overcome the world." So we look to God and we look for His strength in those tribulations so that we can be built up and strengthened. When you endure trials of many kinds, there's a lot of different kinds of trials, a lot of different severity of trials. And I put down a few of them. Trials of health. Sometimes it's our own health. And sometimes it's others in our family that requires great attention from you. Somebody else's health. Something else comes up in family. And that's a great trial that God can bring in our lives. We need to make up our minds that we're going to grow through this and that God will be honored through that. Some other trials, money. Most of the trials that we think of, first financial difficulties, there's not enough money. But what about financial blessings? Lots of money, requiring great wisdom to deal with that. I looked up from, I think it was the Cleveland Report, something like that. 70% of the lottery winners within a few years are bankrupt. 70% are bankrupt. Can large amounts of money be a trial? Yes, they can be. So we need to be careful with stuff like that. Family issues. And there's a long list of things, and I didn't list them all. But there's a long list of family trials. Children, grandchildren, parents. We can go on and on there. Our business and work. Are there trials and things like that? Yeah, there are. But we have to grow through those. Okay. Consider it joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, or produces endurance, like some of it says. You're going to be tested. You know that our Christian lives ought to come. One of the important things that I think sometimes we can make easier the gospel than it should be. Jesus said, before you build a building, you need to count the cost. You need to have things set. You know, you need to know what this is going to cost. And if I'm trying to get Travis saved, then all you've got to do is say these words and you're good to go. To become a Muslim, my understanding, Hassan, correct me, is if you'll pray this Muslim prayer, then you're a Muslim. And then you need to follow the five pillars of whatever. But just saying those words does not make somebody saved. We've got to count the cost. James knew that it was going to be costly to be a follower of Jesus. James, his Jesus half-brother, saw the things that Jesus went through. And it wasn't until later, it wasn't until after Jesus' death and resurrection that James became one of the followers and then became a leader in the church. But he knew that was going to be costly to follow him. In our lives, I think I put that up there. We should know it with our lives today. We should know that following Jesus is going to be costly. This is not going to be just a picnic in the park. This is going to be costly. And we need to recognize that and grow in that. And then the testing of our faith develops perseverance, or produces endurance. Another thing that I stole directly from John MacArthur, but is really good. A permanent inner quality of strength which increases each time a trial is patiently and trustingly endured. That's his definition of perseverance or endurance. Those two words. Some translations have perseverance, some have endurance. And I like both of them. But a permanent inner quality of strength that increases each time a trial is patiently and trustingly endured. Andre Crouch wrote a song. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. And then part of the verse says, and if I'd never had a problem, I wouldn't know that He could solve them. I wouldn't know what faith in God could do. But through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. I haven't learned to just be tough and suck it up and go through it. No. I've learned to depend upon Him. Now, for us to develop that perseverance, it doesn't just naturally happen. I'll tell you a story. that meant a lot. And Dr. Bowers, if any of this is incorrect, don't say a word, okay? When we were sophomores in high school, the end of our sophomore year, there was a coach that came to look over our situation to see if he wanted to come there and be our coach. And to tell you the rest of the story, yes, he did come. He did become our coach and all that kind of stuff. But he came. If you were a football player or a basketball player and a guy, seventh period in school was athletics. Well, Coach Rutherford came into our seventh period class, and that's when we would do our stuff, do our thing. And this was in the spring. So in the spring, all the football players, we didn't give a rip about anything that happened in the spring. We just, you know, we were just waiting for next football season. Coach Rutherford was a big time weightlifter. And he wanted that to make a big difference in our lives. And he came in and he said, here's all of us guys there. And you know, we're tough and we're all that kind of stuff. And Coach Rutherford came in and said, how many of you does it hurt to lift weights? And Billy Blair was kind of our class comedian. And Blair said, oh, Coach, it hurts me. It hurts me. And all the rest of us are going, Blair. And Coach Rutherford said, well, Mr. Blair is the only one that's lifting weights correctly then. And then we all felt bad. You know, we wanted to impress the new coach and all that kind of stuff. Well, he explained some things. In weightlifting, first of all, you have to work hard. And it has to hurt. And the muscle actually tears, causing pain. But the muscle actually tears, and then after it does, it forms scar tissue. And then that scar tissue becomes muscle tissue, and that grows. And then you repeat. And you do that. And there had to be hard work and a tearing of the muscle before there was growth. If there wasn't any tearing of the muscle, if you didn't work hard enough for that to tear, it really didn't do any good. When Coach Rutherford came after the first football season was over, then we started this serious weightlifting program. And we kept track of how much you could lift and what everybody could do and all that kind of stuff. And bench pressing was one of the things that he focused on a lot. And when we started out, I could bench press 150 pounds, and that's not very good. But by the end of that spring, I can bench press 260 pounds, and that's better. But then Coach Rutherford got over there and we put lots of extra weight on the weight bar, and we watched Coach Rutherford bench press 350 pounds. And so all of us didn't feel quite as tough anymore. But in fact, I have a picture of when I was in high school. Okay. Well, the face is me when I was in high school. The rest of that is Arnold Schwarzenegger. But a lot was accomplished if you worked hard and if you did that. Now, there are some parallels in our lives with that. With our walk of faith, we grow the most in times of pain or great difficulty. If everything's going smooth, if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that he could solve them. But during those times of great difficulty is when our faith can grow more and more if we trust God to do that. We can become arrogant and consider ourselves good and very spiritually accomplished. I can bench press this much. I'm good. And then we see somebody else do a whole lot more. We see other people go through a whole lot more in their lives and think, oh, I don't know what I'd have done in that situation. They've done great. They really counted on the Lord. They have really excelled in that by letting God handle that. And we can become arrogant or we can be humble, allowing God to work as He wills, recognizing that He knows what's best. We can put our lives into the potter's hands and say, this could be painful. But we trust Him. We trust the potter to do that. Perseverance. The next verse. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Endurance must finish its work. The only way out of a trial is through that trial. There were guys in our seventh period class in the weightlifting time that didn't work hard. And their charts didn't move much at all. And you could tell that. There's times in our life, and this is, I'm talking about me, first of all. There's times when I would just have rather, let's step around this trial. I don't want to walk through this one. This is going to be tough. And I'd just as soon not do this. But when we do that, we won't ever grow in that area. We have to have a submissive will and let God do His work. God's the one that knows, Scott, you need some help in this area. And He knows that better than anybody else. And He's the one that's going to say, yeah, this is going to come to you. This is where you need to go from here. First Peter 5:10. And the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you, or one translation said, will make you perfect and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Long, long ago, but not very far away, Stanley and I were at some associational meeting, and a young preacher preached. And yes, that was back when I was young, so yes, it was long, long ago. But a young preacher preached, and he did all right. But what Stanley told me at the end of that is he needs to suffer a little. And after he suffered, after he suffers, he'll be better. And I think that's applicable for all of us. We need to suffer a little. And after we suffer, after we recognize that I cannot do this. I cannot make this on my own. I cannot walk this way and keep the attitude that I need to have and develop like I need to develop and do this on my own just because I'm tough. Just because I can, I'm going to have a positive attitude. Just because, no, we can't. And until we suffer a while, then He will make us strong and firm and steadfast. Important. So, what does this have anything to do with us? We will go through trials. We've talked about that. We need to understand that. That needs to be a part of who we are and how we do that. We will go through trials. And how are we going to handle it? We can try to skirt around them, but we're not ever going to grow if we try to skirt around them. We must consider this trial to be allowed by God, and that He wants us to go through this, and that we will consider it joy. We will, whether it brings a bad taste to your mouth or not, we will say, okay, this problem can just be an opportunity for God to work. We can wait and see God work in that situation and do that. If we have no desire to grow spiritually, I'm just going to step around this trial. I'm not going to do this. I'll be okay without this. If we have no desire to go where God wants us to go and be what He wants us to be, if we say, I don't want to be put on that potter's, whatever that machine is that potters use, potter's wheel. I don't want to be put on that. I don't want to be sanded like that. I don't want to be chipped off like that. I don't want to be that. If we have that kind of an attitude, then maybe we ought to go back and check our relationship in the family of God. Because if we're not willing for God to take us and do with us whatever He wants to do, then maybe the Holy Spirit's not living in us. And if the Holy Spirit's not living in us, then we're not one of God's children. So, important thing that needs to be established first, that we know that we're part of God's family. Now, does that mean that we're always going to have the right attitudes when we go there? Well, probably not. At least for one of us, there's not always the right attitudes. But we need to recognize, we need to consider it all joy. And that considering, I left out something in there, to consider it is an act of will, not an act of emotion. When we consider it joy, it's an act of our will. I'm going to do this. I'm going to consider this joy. It's not, woohoo, we get to do this. But I'm going to consider it joy. I'm going to say this is worthwhile. So we're going to go through this, and God's going to develop me like He wants to do. My prayer for us, all of us, this evening, is that we would be willing to be on that potter's wheel, on that carpenter's table, on that whatever it is, and let God make us like He wants us to be. And that we would be one of His children that is ready to be molded and formed and made into what He wants.